Today is the feast of St. Matthew, the patron saint of this church. Matthew, sitting at his tax booth, doing his extorting best, and along breezes Jesus. "Hey, you, follow me." The breeze lifts him up, picks him up, snaps the mooring ropes, and he's away. Away to where? Matthew didn't have a clue. All he knew was the transformative power in Jesus had filled his sails and his heart. But he didn't know where he was bound. Neither did Jesus. The Christian church, like the other world religions, attracts adherents by its perceived stability. In a world that seems to be constantly in flux, here is a religion that has endured 2,000 years. Each week in the marketplace, ideas, structures, products are hailed as new and better, as if those two adjectives are synonymous. And each week, contra the marketplace, a number find comfort in grounding their spirituality in traditions and rites dating back centuries. With magnificent buildings made to endure, Christianity declares to the world that here at least, permanence is presumed. No fickle wind or whim is going to change the church. The common model for this understanding of Christianity is that of a house, built on the sure foundation of Jesus, as one popular hymn attests. This house will supposedly endure forever. Grounded in the Bible and tradition, this rock-solid structure will be able to withstand the storms of change and doubt. And much of the debate within Christianity is between those who want to reinforce the foundations, strengthen the walls, keep foreign winds and doctrines out, and those who want to open the windows and doors to the world and be prepared to change time-honored methods and traditions. Both sides in this debate are using the model of a house. The critical issue is the limits of hospitality. The debate, for example, about homosexual clergy and blessings is in part a debate about how open the doors of the house can be without compromising the foundations of the whole building. God in the house model is at best a benevolent host who opens the gates to strangers, welcomes and dines with them. God may take on board the stranger's suggestions about rearranging the furniture, but the basic foundations and structure remain unchanged. For God in this model is not only the host, but also the landlord. This is the model of church and God that most often passes for Christianity. There are, though, Christians who are not comfortable with this model. They tire of in-house debates, like the one about homosexual clergy and blessing. Not because the debate is unimportant, but because the model is not true to their experience of God, faith, and community. A building doesn't move, it's not meant to. The model assumes the land won't move either. It is essentially a static model, supportive of the illusion of an unchanging past and a predictable future. It assumes that any change is peripheral to God, faith, and community. Some of these discontented Christians articulate their faith and understanding of the church by using the model of a ship. The late Brazilian Archbishop Helder Camara once wrote, "Pilgrim, when your ship, long moored in harbor, gives you the illusion of being a house. When your ship begins to put down roots in the stagnant water by the quay, put out to sea. Save your boat's journeying soul and your own pilgrim soul, come what may." If one considers the church to be more like a ship than a boat, then nearly everything changes. The Bible ceases to be a brick to fortify your structure or throw at your enemy. but as a spiritual food for the journey. The traditions of the church are not a legal system, but a guide, helping with the little tasks, teaching, for example, the theory of the helm, but not doing the steering for you. And God too changes. Instead of being the gracious host and landlord, God is the wind in one's sails and the beat in one's heart. God is the energy of transformative love. This wind God is more a breaker of rules than a maker of rules. God is less interested in order and structure than in those excluded from order and structure. It is a God that refuses to be tamed. The house God and the ship God also have very different approaches to leaks. Leaks in the church can be thought of as things that go wrong, plans that don't quite work out, and the hurt people who distribute their hurt around. In a house, a leak needs urgent attention. It drips on your head and can rot your walls. It needs to be repaired before your dinner guests arrive. In a ship, however, leaks are expected. Bilge pumps are normative. You don't stop the ship to attend to them, unless they're very serious. Leaks are part of sailing. Yet the biggest difference between these two models of church and God is risk. The house, even an open house, speaks of security, stability, and safety. The inhabitants know where they are, what to expect, and even who might knock at the door. The ship, on the other hand, is heading out into unknown waters. The familiar towns and headlands are no longer there. The good old ways become more irrelevant day by day. God, faith, and community have or will change. They will also become more essential, more connected with the essence of each person aboard. St. Matthew, long ago, boarded a ship and left the surety of his vocation, the known markers of his business, culture, and religion, and headed out to sea. We here bear Matthew's name. On some days, we are house-focused, rightly concerned about the institution of Christianity, its squabbles, its debates, and how open are its doors. And this consumes our thoughts and prayers. However, on most days, with no disrespect to the house that nurtured us, we are out sailing. We are looking to the horizon, and the horizon is looking at us. Our website statistics tell us that nearly 4,000 new and unique visitors come to us each month. Some are looking for a house and its God, but not many. Most are looking for a different hope, a different way of church that includes their difference, and a different way of envisioning and experiencing God. And that's what we offer here. So welcome aboard.